The U.S. presidential election is November the 5th, 2024. That's about 9 months away where we'll find out we can keep our democracy intact. Imagine, if you will, it's noon, January 20th, 2025. Donald Trump places his hand on a Bible, takes the oath of office, and delivers an inaugural address with a simple theme: retribution. Our country now has a maniac, psychopathic tyrant that will be this country's first dictator. They keep saying it can't happen here. Really? Welcome to That's Life, I Swear. This podcast is about life's happenings in this world that conjure up such words as intriguing, frightening, life-changing, inspiring, and more. I'm Rick Barron, your host. That said, here's the rest of this story. It's less than a year away from Election Day 2024. And former President Donald Trump looms like a dark omen, ready to unleash his ugly presence upon the world. Now, he's testified in a civil fraud trial, and separately, he faces more than 91 criminal charges, which one would think would prevent the possibility that a convicted felon could lead the Republican ticket next November. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, people. Ironically, it's President Joe Biden's political fortunes that are descending in the abyss of despair. Currently, he's losing to the GOP frontrunner Trump in multiple key swing states. The numbers will likely ignite panic amongst the Democrats. Now, there was a survey that came out in late 2023, which pretty much eliminates the chances of any electoral path to victory for Biden and an increasingly authoritarian Trump, who was promising a second term of retribution, could stage a sinister White House comeback, despite inciting a Capitol insurrection with his false claims of electoral fraud in the 2020 election. Now, Donald Trump has devoted much of his presidential campaign looking back, contesting his 2020 election defeat. But behind the scenes, he and his loyal team are crafting a plan for power, determined to avoiding the catastrophic mistakes of 2016. Now, for those who dare to wonder what Trump intends to do if American voters send him back to the White House in 9 months, the former president is laying out a few diabolical blueprints. It's there in sinister fragments on his campaign website. It's heard at his rally speeches, and it's meticulously documented by people he has entrusted to work on his second term preparations. Now, Donald has been very busy, and honestly, you want to be worried and even scared. Now, let's talk about some of these blueprints. There's about three of them that are public knowledge, by the way. The first one they call Agenda 47, which is a reference to Mr. Trump becoming America's 47th president. Now, he is the favorite to win the Republican nomination, setting the stage for a showdown against President Joe Biden next November. 8 years ago, when Donald Trump launched his bid to win the White House, he did so with an evil-minded agenda, operating on a shoestring budget and a legion of political outsiders and henchmen. He had this slogan, "Make America Great Again," and he had a few wicked policies like building a border wall and banning Muslims from entering the United States. His anti-establishment, drain-the-swamp attitude sent shivers down the spines of the political establishment. Now, after his victory, he set about turning his dark political vision into action, but with little results. His Muslim ban was repeatedly struck down by the courts before finally becoming policy in a very diluted form. He pledged to build a border wall between Mexico and the United States, which was derailed by lawsuits and congressional Democrats. It was, in the view of those in President Trump's circle, a failure of preparation and a failure of personnel. Now, for Trump and his gang, those were failures that they have no intention of repeating if they seize the power in 2024. Let's go back to 2017. Moments after Trump gave his inaugural speech, he walked into the Oval Office with Mark Lauder, who worked on his transition team. From the discussions that follow, Mark quickly realized that the administration was ill-equipped to deal with this huge task of moving the Titanic-sized ship of government. Now, you fast forward 8 years, and this time, Mark and other veterans of the Trump presidency are ensuring they are better prepared, crafting a nightmarish plan to seize control. It's simple tactics. Here's the playbook, guys. Here's how you get it done. And here, more importantly, are the areas and the places and positions where a liberal bureaucracy is going to try to stop you. You got your marching orders. Now go do it for MAGA. The Agenda 47 playbook reveals new plans, each revelation darker and more sinister than the last. Now, some of the declarations border on the fantastical, like promising flying cars and freedom cities on empty federal land, where Americans can live and work without any regulations. Others are very controversial, such as Trump's plan to round up the homeless and move them to tent camps outside U.S. cities until their problems can be identified. Well, that could take a while. Some lean directly into the cultural wars, demanding that state school teachers embrace patriotic values. Now, Trump doubles down on protectionist policies, calling for a universal baseline tariff on all imports, which can be raised on countries that engaged in unfair trade practices. On immigration, and this is the big one for Trump, he wants to reinstate the policy of making undocumented migrants stay in Mexico while they apply for asylum, and he calls for an end to automatic citizenship for the children of undocumented migrants born on U.S. soil. Donald also pledges to cut hundreds of billions of dollars, I mean, it's always billions with Donald, in U.S. international aid and end the war in Ukraine in the process. Now, according to media reports, he is even thinking of having the U.S. withdraw from NATO, or at the very least, scaling back American involvement with a transatlantic defense pact. As Donald says, the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. Again, I'm not making this up. One of the top issues on Mr. Trump's 2024 agenda will be energy increasing supply to bring down household bills. Now, in his view, high energy prices have been a driving force behind the inflation that bedeviled the early years of the Biden presidency. These policies represent the culmination of some of Mr. Trump's efforts to reshape the Republican Party in his own image. The conservatism of George W. Bush, John McCain, and Mitt Romney have been destroyed. The new Republican Party blends conservatism with a populism that appeals to working-class voters, including labor workers who have traditional ties to the Democratic Party. Immigration, trade, and a restrained foreign policy backed by American strength are core elements of this agenda. Now, many of Mr. Trump's proposals will require the help of legislation passed by a Congress that at the moment is partially controlled by Democrats, who are very opposed to his dark plans. Others, like ending birthright citizenship, probably violates the U.S. Constitution and would most certainly be challenged in the courts. Now, here's another blueprint that Trump has, and this one's called Schedule F. In October of 2020, just before he was voted out of office, Mr. Trump issued an executive order creating a new category of civil servant. These Schedule F positions were senior policymaking roles that had been traditionally filled by career government bureaucrats. Under Mr. Trump's order, they could now be fired and replaced by the president and his own senior political staff. It would, in effect, allow a president to clear out thousands of government employees and replace them with loyalists. Now, how did Schedule F come about? It started when Trump faced what would be his first impeachment while in office. Mr. Trump was absolutely angry with the people who tried to impeach him. On February 6, 2020, he was standing on the podium inside the White House, holding newspapers up saying that he was acquitted, and that another one said, "Trump, acquitted." He was extremely happy, and he felt like the witch hunt was over. In his inner circle, a pervasive unease festered, for Trump had made it through a perilous threshold in the Senate trial that he had to go through. A psychological Rubicon crossed, his thirst for retribution surged. He hungered to purge every last snake entrenched within the folds of his government. To orchestrate this, Trump turned to a youthful, unyielding confidant, his former aide, John McEntee. As the year unfolded, Trump, with a spiteful twinkle in his eye, added a weapon to his arsenal, an instrument bearing the innocuous title Schedule F. This obscure document harbored the ominous intention of giving the president the authority to obliterate employment protections for tens of thousands of civil servants entrenched across the vast expanse of the federal government. The shadows of fear deepened as the plan unfolded. The only problem was that Trump lost the 2020 election and Schedule F went down the tubes. However, if Trump wins re-election? Now we come to our third blueprint. There's yet another grand project Trump and his revenge band are pulling together. And this one's called Project 2025. Gosh, they must have spent hours coming up with that title. Donald Trump's plan called 2025 is a blueprint for reshaping the executive branch of the U.S. federal government and expanding presidential power. The plan is being developed by a coalition of conservative think tanks and organizations led by the Heritage Foundation. Paul Dans, former chief of staff, the Office of Personnel Management during the Trump administration, serves as the director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. Project 2025 has been described as the unitary executive theory, which holds that the president has a sole authority over the executive branch. The plan calls for a series of measures to centralize power in the Oval Office. Now, what does this include? Well, here's just a few of them. 1. Eliminating or weakening independent agencies such as the Department of Justice, the Federal Communications Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission. 2. Appointing political loyalists to key leadership positions throughout the government. 3. Expanding the president's authority to fire civil servants at will. 4. Weaponizing the United States Justice Department. There's more, but those are some big ones. Now, Trump has not really endorsed all of Project 2025, but he has expressed support for many of its goals, such as increasing presidential power. And of course, he would love that one. And weakening the deep state. Now, it's unclear whether Trump will implement all of the recommendations if he's elected in 2024, but the plan provides a roadmap for his potential second term. Project 2025 has been met with alarm by critics who warn that it will undermine the independence of the federal government and concentrate too much power in the hands of the president. They argue that this plan would make it easier for the president to abuse his power and violate the rule of law. Supporters of this project argue that it is necessary to reverse the erosion of presidential power and restore the president's ability to effectively govern. They say that the project would make the government even more accountable to the people and less beholden to special interests. I really doubt that. Going into 2024, Mr. Trump promises in his campaign videos and public speeches about what new changes will be accomplished upon his return to the presidency. With immense bravado, Trump continues to shout out how he will find and remove the radicals, the zealots, and those who have infiltrated the Federal Department of Education. He says we will pass critical reforms making every executive branch employee fireable by the President of the United States. For him, the deep state must and will be brought to heel. Behind Mr. Trump's campaign apparatus are a number of organizations tasked with ensuring that Mr. Trump's vision is achieved. I'm not making this up. With names like the Center for Renewing America and the America First Policy Institute, these groups, largely staffed by former senior Trump officials, are putting up position papers and documents that could cover even more blueprints for implementing the policies Mr. Trump has outlined over the past year. There's one here, the Conservative Partnership Institute, which lists former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows as a senior partner that recruits, trains, and finds employment for conservatives who could join a future Republican presidential administration. Now, I wonder how Mark's going to handle this. I mean, you know, he's one of the 18 people that have been indicted alongside the former president for allegedly participating in a wide-ranging effort to overturn Georgia's 2020 election results. Well, let's see what happens. Now, with all of these plans on the table waiting to be implemented, it's a development some of Mr. Trump's former aides who have become his critics fear. Cassidy Hutchinson said if Mr. Trump was elected to a second term, there wouldn't be sound people around him. I mean, let's think about this. The guardrails that were once there would be completely gone. It would be romper room on steroids. Where Trump supporters, however, a more willing team of appointees and aides will mean Trump's presidency is less chaotic and more effective in moving policy. Right. This is so laughable but yet unbelievable that this is the thinking of a Trump presidency. As for the Democrats' efforts to attack Mr. Trump's agenda, his followers are dismissive. They say the critics said the same thing about the former president's campaign proposals in 2016. Well, there you have it. And that's only the blueprints we know of thus far. Now, as Trump says from time to time, let's see what happens. So what can we learn from this story? What's the takeaway? Donald Trump and his allies are drafting plans to potentially deploy the military against domestic protesters and use the Department of Justice to investigate and punish his critics. I mean, the man is telling you straight out what he intends to do to this country should he become the president again. Again, he's telling you. Trump is someone who has vindictiveness in every fiber of his body. I mean, if you snub your nose at him, don't give him a lollipop. In his book, you're a traitor and will be dealt with severely. I mean, I've never seen an individual who was so obsessed with wanting to be adored. If this clown comes back, and I'm sorry, that's exactly what he is, he's going to finish what he started. The frightening part of all this, no one will stop him. And he's but one sad little man. All I can say is, hold your breath on election night. Well, there you go, my friends. That's life, I swear. For further information regarding the material covered in this episode, I invite you to visit my website, which you can find on either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, for show notes, calling out key pieces of content mentioned, and the episode transcript. As always, I thank you for listening and your interest. Be sure to subscribe here or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. See you soon.